Hello, guys, and welcome to the latest edition of the Blackspin Global Podcast. I'm Eugene.
And I'm Lucy.
And yeah, guys, welcome to the latest episode. It's been a hot minute, Lucy.
It's been a minute. To be fair, to all the listeners out there, it's mainly my fault.
Stop it.
To be honest, that we haven't really pod. I'm going to be blindly honest. I wasn't in the right mindset to pod.
I don't think it's as simple as that as well. Like, a lot of things going on, like, yeah, in terms of, like, important life things.
To be fair, like, personally, this year has been crazy for me. I actually don't even know how I'm, you know. But I did have to remember that one of the things that keep me sane is tennis and this podcast. Thank you guys for listening. it's more than just doing what we're doing. To me, it's like a great escape. Like, I'm so looking forward to editing tomorrow. Like, I'm so looking forward to doing some posts and to be talking about tennis today. So, yeah, thank you guys. And thank you guys for still tuning in social. Like, I think that's what doesn't really bother me when we don't pod as much, because we have this, like, these are our homies. Like, we're social, like, we're all chatting.
Especially
on Twitter. Mm. If you're not, please, guys, follow us on Twitter and join the chat whenever we're talking and stuff. But yeah, how are you anyways?
Yeah, I'm good too, Lucy. I feel kind of the same. Like, it's been, since the US Open, obviously we were watching it, and, like, keeping up with that is tough in terms of, like, the hours and stuff. But It was obviously fun.
Like, it was fun.
Shouts out to Coco Gauff.
Hey!
First
it's
major.
It's actually our first pod since then.
It's crazy, yeah. But we did have the kind of special episode with Jameer
and
Jenkins.
People were loving it.
Yeah, which was massive. Like,
yeah, that was big.
And again, we really appreciate Jameer, like, basically jumping on, like, so soon after as well, because obviously...
Yeah, that's true.
It's a big deal,
yeah. It was very close.
But no, I'm really happy with the way that episode kind of came out. Mm. And, like... Yeah, obviously it was just great to get that kind of insight from Jameer. Like, you know, this is Coco's, like you said, her first Grand Slam. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it was a massive moment. And yeah, we're just obviously very excited.
Yeah, for real.
But yeah, I love the US Open, obviously, not just for Coco Gauff, but I loved on the men's side, we had Ben Shelton getting to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. We had him going up against Francis Tiafoe, friend of the pod.
And he lost to the champion. And he lost to one of the toughest male player right now.
This is the thing. Novak did his thing. Like, he's now out on his own.
Yeah.
24. I did like it. And it was weird because there's so much to kind of, I guess, a lot has happened since then. Mm. And obviously we didn't do like an episode straight after. So yeah, we didn't really talk about like the talking points.
Yeah.
But there were like, I just want to touch on quickly the whole... which I love, like, and we did.
How did you feel about that?
Yeah, so at first I was like, you know what, don't respect that, as in from Novak.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, because it was like, why are you like mocking him?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
But then Zach Evenden, shouts out to Zach. He was like, Eugene, if Novak didn't respect Ben, like, he's not doing that.
True.
Was a thing of like, it was a sign of respect. True. And that there's. That's quite a, like, a deep way of looking at it. But like, when I did really like sit back and think about what you said, I was like, you know what, that's a great point.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah,
even Novak off was like, oh, like, I think it was tongue in cheek, his response, but oh, it was like something about, oh,
I'm a fan, and I just copied the celebration.
So I copied it. I was like,
no, for him to do that, he definitely felt rattled, not, but in a way of like, or maybe, do you know what, a side of me also feels that maybe Novak, I'm just assuming, you're not saying is that's what it is, but maybe Novak felt like, you're a bit too confident for me when you're like you're facing a 23rd Grand Slam champion who's not, like, I'm literally gonna aim at 24th, the most Grand Slam at the moment, and you're out of here, like, do you get what I mean? But that was a great moment for tennis. It was very entertaining. Like, it's weird. Like, you know me, I love chaos. I've said it so many times. I love it. So in terms of that aspect, I loved it. But I hated the fact that it was with Shelton. And you know, I've been very vocal about, you know, me and Mr. Novak. but overall, it was exciting. Like, it was just an exciting topic to just talk about. Like, it was a little bit, like, fun. You know, we can't... I mean, us tennis fans, we always talk about, yeah, we want entertainment. They gave us entertainment. 100%.
And that's the thing about, like, tennis or the tennis kind of public, watching public anyway. Like, there's such a divide in or when it comes to players being outwardly, you know, emotional and like showing, you know, a bit of like, yeah, like,
which has been the case a lot with Shelton.
And this is what I'm saying. And also black players, let's just be real. Yeah. Like it seems like it's always a thing when a black player is like overly confident.
Yep.
That seems to be an issue, mm-hmm. which I find hilarious. Mm-hmm. But I'm like, you know what? I love it. And with Shelton coming in now as well, like this isn't an act. Mm-hmm. Like we've seen this is how he is.
Exactly.
And it's like, keep doing what you're doing, man. Exactly. And I think he will. Like, because that's just in his personality. Just,
yeah,
so
exactly, yeah.
more power to him. And like, mm-hmm. even at the Labour Cup, shouts out to Team World. I say Team World, it's mainly USA, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, they defended their like crown from last year. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, I did watch bits of that. Again, it was tough to kind mm-hmm. of stay in, because it was in Toronto, it was not Toronto, Montreal?
Vancouver,
sorry. Yeah. So Canada. And like the time difference was mad. So. Like, so I remember the evening sessions for us started at like 3 a.m.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, bloody hell.
Quite mad still.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was watching and then falling asleep because it's late. Yeah. So, but no, that was good. And I was happy to see like Felix get that win against Gael mm-hmm. Monfils. which we were saying, are we going to talk about the...
So I was saying to you, Gina, like, are we going to talk about this? Even though we didn't really note it down. So obviously for some of you that may remember or know, during the Labour Cup, there was a match between Monfils and Felix.
Yeah.
And I think Felix, and then I think between like they break that, like Felix was just like frustrated with Monfils.
It's like antics.
Like,
I say antics.
Not antics, but like, you know, he was just like, he was basically saying in French, like, bro, like we came, like, play properly. Like, yeah, this is an exhibition. You know, yeah. And Monfils was like, listen, they called me and said, come and have fun. Because the thing is, I think Monfils was like a replacement. He wasn't like, I think initially he wasn't like in the part of the main team.
There were a lot of withdrawals.
So like, there were a lot of withdrawals.
Yeah.
So they called him at the last minute, hey,
come through.
Do you mind joining? I'm not going to lie. I personally am for Monfils. Like, I get what he's, first of all, at the age of his career, I'm sorry, like, I'm not trying to take every single tournament, like, seriously.
Yeah.
You can tell that he's trying to enjoy the last few moments, like, time is and ticking
rightly
for
so,
him
yeah.
in terms of age and in terms of injury. He's a dad now and stuff. And he said what he said, like, he said, listen, they told me to come and have fun, and that's exactly what I'm going to come and do.
Considered.
I'm trying to find it.
You find
it. I had to pause to you know, to make sure that I'm not too, you know.
Say it with your chest now.
I think Felix reacted that way because of his frustration of his performance this season.
It's a great shout.
It genuinely hit him. Mm. I think it was a thing where he hasn't shown at all
it's how been a tough
been,
year.
It's been a tough year mm-hmm. for him. You know, and it's not like he does interviews that often for us to know what's going on through his mind. I generally think that's the first time we saw how this is like affecting him. So I think that is why, compared to every single player that was there, he was taking it very seriously.
Yeah, it's a great point.
Like, the season is ending and, you know, he wanna do like something to make him feel good. I think that's what it was, because we've never seen Felix like this.
Yeah.
Felix doesn't even, you know, he plays his game and he goes home and then that's it. Like, he's very, you know, he reminds me a bit of like how Federer acts towards like in public.
He's almost like a robot. Like, it's very
honestly,
regimental. Yeah.
And that's exactly, I've said it so many times, no one is trained as well as Roger Federer. You can see that Felix.
They're actually born the same day, aren't they?
And they're born the same day. Leo King, Leo gang. But I think that's what it was.
That's a great point. That is a great point.
It was very random. What did you think?
Yeah, like, because to me, there was no like right or wrong. Like, we all know, like you said, Gael Monfils is a showman.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, he's always going to have, no matter what event, like it could be a Grand Slam, it could be a Masters 1000, it could be a 250. Like,
yeah.
he's always going to have
always, exactly.
that kind of, that's just his personality.
Yeah.
Similar to Ben Shelton, how we were talking about like the whole showboating, but celebrating. Like, so with Monfils, like I wasn't, I for me, it was just awkward to kind of see there was like tension And I didn't like that.
Yeah.
In terms of like, when they were on the bench.
Especially with the black players.
This is what I'm saying to you. And like, I think I think he felt a bit like, not slighted, but like, maybe a bit of a way to say, well, come on, man, like, I know you're someone that kind of looks up to me, not in an arrogant way, but like, yeah, there aren't that many of us.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So, I don't know. Like, it was a tough watch, basically.
It was a tough watch. It definitely was.
But I see both sides. Both like, sides, because like you said, Felix is looking to play his way into some form because he's had a tough year. Mm-hmm. And I mean, he's had a good Labour, well, so far his Labour Cup kind of campaign has been pretty good in terms of winning last year.
Yeah.
And he wants to kind of continue that.
Exactly, yeah.
Which he did.
And I think that's why it means a lot to him. And plus, how can I forget? They're playing in Canada.
And that too, the home crowd, like... So, exactly. I think for him more than anybody really on that team, like that tournament meant the most.
Yeah.
And rightly 100%. So. So, yeah, I just don't know. Like, maybe that doesn't really answer the question. I'm sorry, guys. But yeah, for me overall, I just felt awkward watching it.
Yeah,
like, that's the best way I can describe it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I wish it never happened, but look, we are
where
we are.
That's why we were even hesitating on speaking about it. Should we talk about it? Like, that is how uncomfortable it even made us feel.
But shouts out to Team World again. Like,
for real.
There were some good performances as well. Ben Shelton, he beat after Arthur Thies. I think that was the first match.
Mm-hmm.
And that was Thies's, like, debut at the event, which we'll talk about Thies later on as well. Like, what a season he's having.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think that's kind of a nice way to kind of segue into our introduction. I say introduction. We've been featured, Lucy. Where have we been featured?
You guys need to start putting some respect on our name. Like, this is Black Spin Global. It's nothing else. Get to know. Shout out to the LTA, for real.
No, definitely. Major props.
Major props. Like, we were just out here minding our business and, you know.
They just hollered.
Shout out to us.
Yeah.
And happy Black History Month to all your UK listeners. For those who don't know, it is Black History Month here.
It is. I feel, everyone kind of knows. I'm like, Black History every day for me.
It's Black History Month. What, that video, just like Whitney Houston and Bobby Rouse, we need a Black History year. Oh yeah, that's what we need. Black History. Oh yeah.
But I get it. Like, I understand. Like, I guess the importance of it, and like for a lot of people, like, they do kind of hold it in high regard, and like there's nothing wrong with that. But just back on the LTA and like them recognizing us, like, yeah, it was a big deal.
No,
and
it,
like,
was a nice moment.
I was saying to you again, like, maybe I shouldn't say it out loud, but I'm going to. Like, about time, Lucy. Like, we've been doing the pod, what, since 2020? Obviously, the platform started in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there's no one doing what we're doing.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. 100%. Like, I'm so proud of that fact. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that is down to us as well. But the followers, like, you guys, you make it worth us doing this, basically. So... yeah, massive shouts out to you guys too, because
even seeing the comments as well, like, people when they saw the article, it was dope. Like, from everyone, man, it was really nice to see. Yeah,
exactly. 100%. So no, it was a big look.
So if you haven't seen it, guys, check our Linktree link. You see
it's
it
all there,
the article. And what I like about it is that a lot of people don't really know our story, how we started. So that's kind of how
it's a great
find out as well.
It's a great shout, some background. We've got to shout out the GOAT. Queen Serena.
Y'all thought we would not be speaking about her after she retired. Like, no,
after
we're still
she evolved
talking about
away from tennis.
Evolve away from tennis. So, I love how you refuse to use. Eugene always refuses to use the word.
Listen, man, that's her. It's her term, and I really respect it.
Retire.
But yeah, she's been recognized at the CFDA Fashion Icon Awards. Which is
a big award.
Shouts out to you as well for that flipping thread you did.
Listen,
My word.
I had to.
And I know all you guys, well, most people have seen it. Lucy basically did an extensive, like, rundown of, Serena's kind of fashion over the years. And even when I was reading, I was like, you know what? You're making some great points. Like the Cameroon Puma, when she was sponsored by Puma, like that fit. I think she wore it at Roland Garros.
And she only wore it twice.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the craziest. It's so crazy how, like, this is a 2 weeks tournament. She wore it only twice, and in 2023, people were talking about it. And the reason why she didn't wear it is because she was like, people are talking more about what I'm wearing than my tennis. Focus on my tennis. Mm. the reason why I did that thread is because I was very hurt seeing, I'm not saying all of it, but it was a mix. So like I was hurt by seeing like a lot of people saying, oh yeah, she's great. Like, I don't, like, her fashion outside is just not it for her to be getting this.
Yeah.
There's some who acknowledge the fact that she does, you know, she has some fashion on in court, but I don't think they understood the extent of it. I don't think they understood the impact it had.
That's the key word. Yeah.
That's the thing. Mm. That's what made me realize. I was like, you guys don't understand what's going on here. And what a lot of people, and what is always to consider that this is the first athlete. So a lot of people were like, oh, as the first athlete, I don't get it. And I'm like, okay, name me one athlete that has like a fashion impact. The only two I could come up with are, oh shoot, what is that basketballer name? The one that was playing the Chicago Bulls. He wore a wedding dress.
Hmm? Not Rodman, Dennis Rodman.
Dennis Rodman. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Dennis Rodman and David Beckham. And even David Beckham, he's kind of questionable because I may be wrong. I was a baby during that era. Although I did watch his documentary.
Brilliant documentary,
but,
by the way.
Yeah, very nice. But I kind of feel like Victoria had a lot of impact in
massively,
that as well.
Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why I'm like, so who else? As an athlete, who else could you think of?
I mean, now you could say Federer.
Yeah, that's what...
But even he came after Serena, really, in terms of the fashion influence.
You're not going to see a full-on conversation or normal publication that are not related to tennis talk about a Federer outfit.
Yeah.
Compared to Serena.
No, yeah.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like Serena, look how many people spoke, especially since she came back from maternity. Look how many people are literally talking about it. And that was the same before. Do you get what I mean? So it was really... it was really, really, really important for me to point out, in detail, the impact of everything that she has done. Because not only she was wearing some of the best stuff, but she was literally winning at the same time.
Mad, yeah.
23 Grand Slams. Like, she went to Nike, was like, listen, I don't care about being comfortable. I want to look like the best in it. So can you imagine, I looked the best and I did the best. And the thing is as well, fashion is not just about outside. Like some of the people that won the Icon Awards, like Zendaya, for example, she hasn't influenced anything in terms of normal people to wear. But the second you know that she's on the red carpet, people speak about her for days. Mm. That's impact that she has. It's the same with Serena.
Yeah, yeah.
You might not like her fashion outside of the court, which is I fit in that in. I remember you even asked me, wouldn't you buy something from her clothing?
And
I
was
like, no,
Serena.
Not really. Yeah. But her impact on court. With that fashion, I am sorry.
I think you the word you used was impact. Like, mm-hmm. And I'd say, or just to further on that, and Venus too. To be fair, those two,
which I mentioned on
exactly,
thread,
they were the first tennis players to have this kind of crossover.
Yeah.
In terms of the sport and fashion,
mm-hmm.
And it was that again. That needs to be recognized and celebrated
100%.
Because now you're seeing. So many players, male and female, or woman, man,
mm-hmm.
Having this kind of it's not as weird or abnormal to see, a player really into the fashions.
Yeah. Fam, look how Taylor and Caroline were wearing the play suits.
Yeah, yeah. Afterwards. Which again, you mentioned. Exactly.
Do you get what I mean?
Yeah,
these little things, they make a difference. And what's even more amazing about that is that they're both mothers.
Yeah,
and she wore that after she was a mom. Do you get what I mean? So at the same time, it's you can't get too upset because people, if I wasn't a tennis fan, I probably wouldn't have understood to this extent. So that's why it's instead of telling people to F off. See, I'm growing. Instead of cussing people out, I just created that thread to just be like, all right, you guys need to understand why Serena Williams got that Fashion Icon Awards, which is going to be on the 6th of November, I believe. I cannot wait. Shout out to her. Shout out to Venus.
Oh, that's going to be a big moment.
Yeah, there's a massive moment. And I hope that on her speech, she talks her shit so that people can understand.
I'm sure she will. I'm sure she
will. They can understand what it is, period.
I'm sure she will. But no, that's well said, Lucy. And again, shouts out to you as well for basically providing that education. Because, yeah, like, it was definitely needed. Like...
Anything for my queen. Don't come... Don't come for Serena Williams. Like, that's the only player where... I do not give a heck. I will show to you that she is my queen and my queen for life. And I'm going to root for her.
No, shouts out, Serena, every time. But yeah, look out for that. So that's, you said November.
I think November 6th next month. Like that, yeah.
Nice. Should we get into like some of the tennis now?
Yes.
So yeah, a lot has been happening, obviously, since the US Open. I did love, again, we'll talk about it later on, but something Maria Sharapova said.
Yeah.
Which I thought was a great point. But yeah, we should acknowledge just some of the players that have been killing it, like, during this kind of, I guess it's the Asia swing, you could say.
Ish, yeah.
Which hasn't really been around for, what, 2 years?
2 years,
because
yeah.
of the pandemic and, like, yeah. other things. I think the Peng Shui.
Yeah, and I'm kind of surprised that... I actually thought people would make more noise about them going back there.
Yeah. I think there was at the start,
5 minutes though.
Yeah.
But then after that, yeah. But yeah, anyways, go on. Yeah.
Yeah. but yeah, one player that's kind of been doing her thing, although she's now in Tunisia,
mm-hmm.
Is Jasmine Paolini.
Yes.
So she had a really good, I think it was, she started in China. Yeah, so the China did, Open. Yeah. Which is a 1,000.
Mm-hmm.
She had a good win against Beatrice Haddad-Maia, the Brazilian,
mm-hmm.
Who was, I believe, seeded 19th. And that was a three-set victory for Paolini. And she went on to reach the round of 16, where she lost to
Sabalenka.
The top seed, exactly.
She had tough, her first... I feel like this entire season... Paolini.
She's had some tough draws. Yeah.
Draws. Like, you guys need to leave my girl alone. Because you guys know I am the queen of these draws are rigged.
Mad.
To me. Not to Blackspin Global and Eugene. To me.
Lucy, you're not the only person though. Like, so many people
in the
comments.
You know what's so funny? When I said it the first time on the podcast, you were even like, whoa, that's crazy.
I mean, because
right
it's
now.
Just like, yeah.
But what I'm trying to say is, You're getting more and more people like mm-hmm. hearing it, because some of the matches, like, come on. But yeah, no, she's had, like, she's always playing like top players. She's always like getting like previous Grand Slam champions, like, and stuff. But one thing that I appreciate is that no matter who she's playing against, she will make sure that she plays her best tennis.
Yeah,
like,
up a fight.
One thing about Paolini is that when you watch her play, I feel like if you ever spent your money watching her play, just know that even if she lost, that money was worth it, because she's going to play like this match count as if it's like a Grand Slam thing. Like, you can see that she's fighting through. And that's what I really appreciate about her. And, you know, she's a very, very, very strong player. So, yeah.
No, it was good. It's good to see her, like, yeah, doing well. I want to say she's at a career high. I think she's 30 at the moment. In the rankings.
Yeah, she's gone up.
That's a good look.
Mm-hmm.
And if she continues, she'll be seeded for the Australian Open.
Yeah.
This week as we record today, she's currently in Tunisia.
Yeah, she won her match yesterday. But even before that, before we jump to that, after that tournament, she reached the semifinals at Zhengzhou. Zhengzhou.
Yeah.
And she lost to the champion.
Qin Wen
Zhang. So that was
Lady of Many Talents. You see her singing?
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, oh, okay. You go, girl.
I heard she raps as well, apparently. Well, I say apparently. She Yeah, I was listening to I think it was the ATP podcast, and she was on there with I forgot the other Chinese player's name. But yeah, they're kind of having like a back and forth like Q&A. And she was like, yeah, she enjoys rapping. I was like, oh, okay.
Zeng, I want you to drop me 16 bars. Drop me 16 bars. I want to see that.
Oh, God. What do we have here again? The, Drake did one. Is it Graham Daly?
Oh, Graham Daly.
It was
a Charlie Soft one. Combination.
No, where they freestyle.
It is Graham. I don't think Drake has on Graham Daly. Sure. But it's different ones.
Okay.
There's different ones.
Yeah.
But maybe her and Shapovalov can make a song together.
Can you imagine Wimbledon, like, getting together, like, do something for
Gosh. gosh.
Anyway. Yeah, shout out to Paulie, man. She's doing her thing.
I actually thought she was going to bag that. I thought, I was like, oh, we're close. But for her to get all the way to the semi-finals.
Yeah.
Really, really, really impressive.
Because she actually played King Wen in Italy in a final. Was it Parma? That was on clay though. Mm. And that went to three sets. Mm-hmm. And yeah, King Wen won that as well. But yeah, Pauline, she's having a good year. And I think it's just good to see her like kind of playing to her potential because we've all seen it. Like we've been speaking about her for a minute and it's nice to kind of...
She's 100% probably one of the most hardworking...
Yeah.
Players, I'm not even going to say just WTA players, just players of this year, 100%.
No, for real. Coco Gauff. So obviously she is a Grand Slam champion now, which is fantastic. So she reached the semi-finals. That was also in China.
Yep.
And she, who does she play in the semi-final? Oh God. Lucy's sleeping. The one and only Iga Świątek.
Leave us alone, Iga.
Number two.
Leave us alone.
World number two. And that was a straight sets victory for Świątek. But Coco played some good tennis though that week.
Yo, I find it so crazy how she managed to improve even just a little bit between the US Open till like then. Mm. I remember like tweeting it, like, I can't remember which match I was watching against, but I remember there was one where I was... tweeting about on our account.
Probably
and I was saying
Sakkari.
I think it was the one with Sakkari.
That was a straight set, and it was quite impressive.
I think so, yeah. And yo, I felt like her backhands were either like that's her strong, her strongest weapon. So the fact that she was playing even better was like more like interesting. Like her serves were great, her forehands like were great. Like she was moving really well on the court. And I think that's so impressive. Like it's extremely rare, especially as of recent, for us to get WTA players winning a Grand Slam and then boom, they win in like literally the next tournament
they
or they're reaching all the way to semifinals. Yeah. And I know Coco's very like aware of like people chatting. So I know I feel like that's what motivated her to work even harder.
Yeah. She kind of said it during her speech, isn't it? Like, so yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, during the US Open speech, she said it. She's like, you haters.
I see you.
You guys motivated me without even knowing. So yeah, I think she knew that people would keep like a lot of eyes on her and she did well, man. She hasn't played since that, but for her to reach the semi-finals.
World number three as well now, like it's just mad.
And
like,
she lost to, you know, a player that is tough between them.
Yeah.
And
again, she went on to win, didn't she?
Yeah, she went on to win anyways, Iga. Yeah. So honestly, if it was a thing where she lost, like even if she lost the first round, I actually wouldn't really care.
Nah.
It's like... Is she just won a Grand Slam?
This season's been a dream season.
She's enjoying her money and her millions. You guys. But the fact that she reached all the way to the semi-finals, that's really impressive. No, so shout out to Coco.
Big time. Let's go on to the men quickly. Ben Shelton.
Mm.
What a year he's having.
Mate.
First full year on tour, just continues to like just do ridiculous things. So yeah, he reached the quarterfinals in Shanghai. His first time in China.
I remember seeing tweets from like tennis fans saying, oh my gosh, how many times are you guys going to remind us this is the first time for Shelton, first time that we gonna say it.
Listen, man,
we gonna keep saying it.
It's
a
important
big deal.
It's important to stress it, exactly,
because there's some players that have been here for 29 years and they ain't doing what he's doing. Like, let's be for real. So the fact that he is doing a lot of the things for the first time this year and he's reaching quarterfinals, he's entertaining
it's
you
big.
guys, we gonna keep saying it.
It's big. And he's got his dad in the box. Well, his dad's basically his coach.
Yeah.
Which I love to see as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you said it during... when did you... It was during the US Open.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, oh, like just seeing Brian, like... I think it was during the Novak match, even though he was like getting
Novak
his ass
match.
Beat.
Yeah, no, like, but during the Novak match, his dad was so, looking at him like...
So proud, like...
Like, that's my son. And it's like, uncle, we've got an important match here. But I can imagine like how he's feeling. Do you get what I mean? Like, he's looking at him like, wow. And I've said this before, I think for him, it hits him even different compared to anyone else because compared to a lot of the players who have their dad as coaches, a lot of those dads were not players themselves, yeah. or they probably played, but they didn't reach to a level that his dad.
To be fair, Sebastian Korda, similar situation.
Sorry, yeah, Korda, yeah, that's true. And also, what's his name?
American.
Casper Ruud. His dad as well was a player.
Yeah, was he a player?
I think his dad was a player. Anyway, this is Black Spade.
Might have to check that one.
It fares, if you remember, please let us know. But if I remember correctly, his dad is
Yeah, that does ring a bell, to be fair.
But either way, there's not a lot of them. Mm. So I can understand that he's probably looking at him like, I couldn't do it to this extent.
Yeah. But, damn. Yeah.
You know. And also, it was very interesting hearing their story on that GQ That was nice. If you haven't checked that out,
because basically Brian Shelton wasn't feeling Novak's.
He wasn't feeling it, and I was like, "Yes, Uncle, yeah, tell him." Of course, that's his son.
But again, shouts out to Ben because I thought he handled that really well.
He did. No, like, he handled it really well. I think he probably even liked it, as in like not at the moment.
Yeah, because he said he didn't see it.
He didn't see it.
I know he saw. I know.
I don't believe it.
I think he saw. Because the handshake was just so like...
That handshake.
We're going back, but we have to. Go on.
That handshake, yeah. Shelton looked at him like, oh, it's...
I loved it though, man.
And this is what I mean by, I feel like Novak felt like, nah, man, like, bow down to me. And Shelton was like, no.
Hell no.
No.
Hell no.
I'm not doing it.
The meme mug.
You know how people act... I've been saying it for so long. People need to stop the whole humble shit when it comes to tennis. Not every day be humble. Sometimes, just, you know, and I feel like Shelton might be, you know, the first... Because the thing is, he still does it in a respectful way.
100%, exactly.
He does it as a competitor.
One of the nicest guys.
I feel like Shelton looks like someone like... It's a bit like Serena on court. You see how she literally used to get so upset at losing at her own blood sister. Yeah. Serena would be so angry. It's like, bro, this is yours. Like, you guys literally have the same mom and dad. Like, this is your sister. You even lived together at one point. You get what I mean? Yeah. Like, but obviously, that's outside of that, it's all love. And I feel like Shelton might be one of those players. He might be one of those that's like, on court, I'm not your bro.
Ultra competitive.
Because it was the same with Francis.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, literally, it was the same thing. But I feel like outside, he'll probably see Novak and be like, yo, like, I respect you, da-da-da. Mm-hmm. But on court, it's like, now, which should be the case?
100%. 100%. But yeah, Shelton's doing his thing, man. Like, just quickly on Shanghai. So he beat Jannik Sinner, which I loved. And that was a quarterfinal. That was round of 16, sorry.
He did.
And Sinner was coming in off the back of winning the week before.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, like, that's always a tricky one too. When you're playing a player that's like banging form.
Yeah.
Higher ranking than you as well.
And Sinner has been in form this year.
Exactly what I'm saying. And like, really well there's a lot of talk about Sinner being like one of the top players. Like, and rightly so.
And you know what's so mad? When it started initially, I was like, what are people talking about? But at that time, I think I wasn't really following him as much.
Oh, okay. You mean at the hype?
Yeah, the hype. At the very beginning.
Yeah.
I was like, Sinner?
Are you serious?
But this season, he really proved me wrong.
Yeah.
He really proved me wrong.
But yeah, Shelton took him out in three sets.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that their handshake was like a sign of like, this is going to be a nice rivalry. Not rivalry, but like, I'm looking forward to more matches between them. Because you can tell they enjoyed... the battle, basically.
That makes me wonder, do you think players feel some type of way about Shelton's like confidence?
I don't think so. Because like you said, he's such a nice guy. Like, so
true.
I think...
Yeah, he's very respectful.
They know like he's a good person. And like, yeah, I think people just take to his energy. And obviously he's a crowd pleaser. Like that is what the crowd want to see. They want to see excitement and like a player giving off that kind of like, yeah, just the lively... Tennis is a very like rigid sport, man, and we need more personalities like Ben Shelton.
Facts.
So, yeah, more power to him. But
100%.
Yeah, he did end up losing to Korda in Shanghai in the quarterfinals.
It looked like it was one. It was tight.
So
I think all of them. No, I think the first and last set went to tie breaks.
Exactly.
And the first set was like a long ass tie break.
Yeah. 10-12, you won that.
Yeah.
Or 12-10, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah. Korda had like a lot of opportunities, but Ben was just blocking him. Yeah. Because he had like mad like opportunities to like break.
But I think again, like for me, Shelton is a better player than Korda.
Mm.
Like I'm not biased. Of course I'm biased. But like, yeah, I just think when you look at the weapons that both have,
mm.
Shelton has more weapons.
Yeah, I actually like, thought that's when I saw that we're playing against Shelton, I was like, oh yeah, okay. Shelton should win this. But for it to go for that long and how tough the match was just shows to you that, yeah.
That wasn't a straight thing of like kind of, oh, who's better? For me, that was like a Korda's more experienced like at this time is in terms of playing, you know, matches at this kind of level.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's not that much older than Ben, but mm-hmm. like, yeah, he's been on tour a bit longer. But I just think what Ben's shown this year, mm-hmm. like, he's the real deal.
Yeah.
And it's similar to like how I feel about Artur Feast mm-hmm. as well. Like mm-hmm. he's like top 40 now, like mm-hmm. 19 still. And just, it's like he's been here for so long.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's wild.
Yeah.
But yeah, shouts out to Ben. He's currently in Japan as we record this. So he's playing his compatriot, Tommy Paul, in the quarterfinals after winning two matches in Japan. So yeah, looking forward to kind of seeing how deep he can go. And mm-hmm. that's the third meeting as
and
well.
And also on top of that, he's been playing doubles as well.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's been, I believe... Oh, no, sorry. I'm confused.
So he played doubles in Shanghai.
Shanghai, yeah,
With Hubert Hurkacz.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Who actually won Shanghai, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. And the final was with Rublev.
Yeah, Andre Rublev, yeah. So shouts out to Hurkacz.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Ben's doing his thing, man, in Japan. So... yeah, shouts out to him and just obviously keep an eye on kind of his progress.
For sure.
Next up, what we got? Tennis news.
Just tennis chit chat.
I think you should lead the way with this one, Lucy.
As you all know, guys, the WTA finals is coming. I need to say this with excitement because there's been a lot of negative talk about the WTA finals, which I understand. So first of all, before we crack on, here are the players that are going to be at the WTA finals. Just confirmed players. Just, So Sabalenka, Igor, Coco, Rebekina, Begula, Vondrousova, Ons, and Mikova. And apparently Mikova's actually, I think she, if I read it correctly, the first player with like the least titles to be.
Interesting.
Or something like that. I saw something like that. But yeah. So.
That's a strong lineup though, boy.
And very strong lineup. And I feel like one of the reasons why it's strong is because these players have been killing it this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really looking forward to it. However, a lot of fans are not happy because of the poor scheduling, including the players. Actually, the players have voiced it. I think they want to voice even more, but obviously they don't want to bash the WTA publicly as much.
Well, we're backing her. She has no kind of like issue bashing the WTA, which I like.
Yeah, she doesn't. Yeah, and I respect it. Because listen, I'm the reason why you're even here. People are not buying tickets because of WTA. They're buying tickets because of me and my peers. Mm, you get what I mean? So I definitely feel her if or any other players complaining, especially with how they handled
100%.
It. So obviously there was no confirmation of where it was going to be. When was it? Like literally we've been clueless about it till like after the US Open in September. Yet the WTA final is the 29th of October. But now it was going to be in Cancun.
Mexico.
Apparently, do you know what? And that's another reason why. Actually, this is the real reason why I'm upset that the WTA finals info just dropped, because I probably would have won.
Really?
The three T's that I like: tequila, tacos, and tennis.
that's a T-shirt. That's hard. That is hard.
Tequila, tacos, and tennis.
That is actually a T-shirt.
You cannot go wrong with that. WTA finals, you messed up. I would have literally gone on a plane. I'll have booked some days off. I'm even off next week from work. I would have literally just booked my plane. I'll have gone there. And then apparently it's even in a resort. I would have booked, I'll have been in that resort.
Watch
a couple
of
matches. And then during lunch, go to the restaurant, get me some margarita, get me some nice tacos, and then come back and watch more. Like, literally, this, and I love those three things.
Yeah.
That's what I live for. They literally call me the tequila queen outside of my tennis professional self. So,
oh my God.
Yeah. So, but luckily to the Americans, they can easily go there. I think it's cheaper for them to get head to Cancun compared to us. But one of the reasons why apparently, allegedly, before you guys can come and sue us, allegedly, everything is alleged.
Such a journalist. I love it.
Do you think I'm a
I love it. You are a journalist, Lucy.
So yeah, so one of the reasons why it took that long allegedly is because the WTA finals are in talk with the Saudi Arabia.
Oof, so very that contentious.
Saudi Arabia can host the WTA finals from 2025 now to 2026.
Damn.
Initially, they were supposed to even do it this year.
Okay.
But the outrage from a lot of people, I think that's what calmed them down. But there are apparently from, there are a couple sources that some of the media journalists, tennis journalists have said. There's one specific who's actually been sharing a lot. I can't remember his name. I'm so sorry. Can't give you credit. But he said that there was two sources saying that they might use the WTA Finals Cancun to announce that's going to be in Saudi Arabia.
Next year.
From next year to 2026.
Mad, okay. Because obviously in Saudi or Riyadh, I think. Is it Riyadh? Or Jeddah.
Oh boy, my geography is not that good.
Yeah, I think Jeddah is Saudi. That's going to be where the next gen finals the next gen this final, year.
Yes. I think it's easier for next gen than WTA to say we're going to do it, because WTA, the issue is some of the big thing is that the laws in Saudi Arabia does not favor women.
Okay.
And also the WTA have more openly LGBTQ plus people in
on the tour.
On
yeah,
the tour
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Compared to the ATP.
Mm.
So that's why a lot of people are like outraged and stuff, which I understand.
I me personally, like, not to get too political, but like, I don't like the whole conversation around, like, because the term is sports washing that like Saudi Arabia are doing in terms of like bringing all these major events.
Yeah, I mean
the country.
Sorry to cut you off, but the whole Qatar World Cup.
I mean, yeah.
Which a lot of football fans tell me. Obviously, I'm not a football fan. They tell me that was one of the best World Cup.
Lucy, the thing is, like, sport in general, yeah, like in terms of sport and politics, yes, they do cross over, and like as much as people say, oh, keep politics out of sport, you can't. But at the same time, no country on this earth is perfect. So if we want to try and
look what's literally happening right now.
This is what I'm saying. Our country's better than yours, or this country, we don't have these rules in this country. Like, no country's perfect. Yeah. So I just don't like the kind of hypocrisy that kind of is around when it comes to like these kind of conversations. So
the UK ain't any better than
this is what I'm saying. There's no country on this earth that is perfect.
True.
So that's my thing. And like for the players, I take no issue in if a player wants to say, you know what, I don't want to go to this country because I don't agree with their politics. That's fine.
I think
if a player wants to go and they may not agree with the politics, but at the end of the day, they're trying to get paid.
Yeah.
Again, that's absolutely fine. So there's like no one should be on like their high horse basically saying, oh, you should not be going, or that's wrong. Like, no. Mm. Like, it's down to the players. Sorry.
But I think some of the players would be down to go, but they're just scared of the backlash.
Yeah.
Because that's the issue with today. A lot of times, some people might not even really care about the cause.
Yeah.
But if they see a like celebrity how it's gonna look. Or how it feels, they're like, you know, like some celebrities are being attacked right now with what's going on at the moment. And it's like, I feel like some of the players, Israel and Palestine. I think with that, like, that's just an example. So I think some players might feel like, I want to go, because the biggest thing about all of this is that people need to keep in mind that the WTA needs money. I'm so sorry, guys. Like it or not, but the WTA is broke. Respectfully, allegedly. Allegedly. I'm not seeing the financial documents, but it's not looking good, bro.
Yes.
It's not looking good. And who has money more than Arab money?
It's a great point.
So,
well, the Chinese will have an argument
as
well.
Yeah, but
true. They're in China right now.
But they are the top two right there. And I feel like that's the reason why they are hesitating, because they're looking at it like, this might ruin our reputation, but this might help us to do, you know, a lot of stuff.
Help the bank but balance.
At the same time, and also you need to keep in mind that if we're saying this is a world sport, include every single country.
Facts. That's why I want more tournaments in Africa. Sorry. And not just North Africa, which is, I know we've got one right South now Africa. In Tunisia.
Yeah, we're talking more... about like, exactly.
Yeah.
And you need to keep in mind, the same way we're talking about, because a lot of people say, oh, they don't want WTA finals to be there because they have laws that are against, you know, those that are part of the LGBTQ plus community. But you also have Arabic players.
Exactly.
The top one of the players that's literally at the current WTA finals is also Arabic. Mm-hmm. How about if she wants her community to be there? Because there's a huge difference. When players play in their country, when players play with the people around them, it's completely different. It would be nice for Ons to be somewhere and be like, I'm seeing my people.
Like my culture.
And you never know. This might, and I think she even said it. She said like, this might actually change some stuff for the sport.
We'll
Who
see.
Knows?
We'll see, man.
Do you get what I mean? We'll it might see. Even influence Saudi to change some of their laws. If they, that's where Ronaldo is, right?
Yeah.
They change, well, even though it's a silly law, they change a law just for him.
Yeah,
for his, although to, bring his, to live with his girlfriend. Yeah. Although it's a silly...
It's a powerful man right there, you know.
That's what I'm about to say. Although this is a quote-unquote silly law, but also it's probably mainly done because he's Ronaldo. Mm. You never know. Don't underestimate the impact that you can do.
Definitely, definitely.
Like, it could change a lot of stuff, so... I'm not saying, I don't think there's a right or wrong. I think whether they accept it or not, it's going to look mad.
Yeah.
Because if they don't accept it, people are going to look at them like, you're silly, you need the money. And if they do accept it, it's going to, you know. Mm. But I feel like that, the noise about them accepting it would die out in like
exactly.
a couple of things.
100%.
The tennis would take over.
100%.
You guys would love it.
And rightly so. And rightly so. Like, because at the end of the day, like the tennis is the most important thing.
Exactly.
So that's that. Quickly wrapping up now before we do finish. Naomi Osaka is back.
Can I say this was actually done. It wasn't planned.
Fits.
It actually was not planned.
We should have mentioned this during our fashion talk, but
for real. Because the weather just changed and it's cold as hell. And I was like, you know what? I need to feel but yo, Eugene, I am warm.
It looks good on you as well.
I'm so sorry, but I'm going to be wearing this.
It looks good on you.
I'm so upset I only have one colour. I wish I had more than one. But honestly, this is... Shout out to Osaka. You were doing something. It's going well. My cargo pants and my white Air Forces.
It's a look.
Thank you.
But so Osaka... I say Osaka. Wim Fossette announced that he is no longer working with Kim Win-jen.
Yes.
Well, to be fair, she kind of said it in an Instagram post that he's now no longer part of her team and that he's basically gone back to Osaka. And she was pretty heartbroken.
I actually got a nice comment from her about breakup. Yeah?
Let's go.
So she said, during the US Open, I knew he had contact with the team of Osaka. Right after the match, he said to me that he felt like he had no connection with me. He never said that to me before. Right after I was defeated, he said that to me. I felt very strange. I talked to my manager. I asked my manager whether he would go to Osaka's team. The manager said no, he wouldn't be that kind of person. But after resting for a week, he suddenly told me that he was going to work with Osaka. It was quite a big impact to me and my team and members and family. I cried after hearing that. There was no fights, no argument, blah, 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 blah. She did say that, you know, she understood that what he had to do. It was just that it was unethical. She said, I understand that Osaka can provide a better offer to him. I understand from his perspective, this might be a better position. He has a family to support. I understand his decision, but it doesn't mean I'll forgive him for making such a decision. Now, after I read this, even before I read this, as an Osaka fan, sorry, I was happy to, I'm so sorry, Zach. I meant this in the most respectful way. I was happy because I was actually heartbroken when they stopped working together, but little did we know it's because Osaka was pregnant. Yeah. they are a great team together. Like the way I remember reading one of his interviews about Saka, he knew the key things to focus on to help her, which has, you know, it worked because they won two Grand Slams together. Yeah. But the way he handled this, wasn't it? He has every single right to do what he has to do anyways. Fam, if one of the richest players is telling me come work for me, I'm gonna drop everything and go. Like she said, he has a family to support. But I wish he did this in a most, like, in an honest way. If what she said is true about how he came and be like, we have no connection, and tried to drop little stuff, rather than just being fruitful, be like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm so sorry I'm dropping this to you now. This is what it is. Osaka's team reached out to me. She wants to get back. There are chances I might go back to her. I'm so sorry to mess up your routine and stuff, but I have a family to support. I have a relationship already with her. Blah, blah, blah. Do you get what I mean?
No, 100%. 100%.
The way he did it, wasn't it? Am I mad though? As an Osaka fan, I'm sorry. As a Osaka fan, I'm happy, but at the same time, nah, that wasn't it.
No, I think that's a very reasonable kind of way to look at it. And like, I maybe just to add on that, I agree with you completely. I'm just going to say, I think he probably thought she wouldn't come out with that in terms of like, come out with such a public statement.
Maybe, that's true.
So maybe that's why he probably thought, you know what, let me try and break it in this way and like, ease my way out, because yeah, she probably wanted, yeah.
It was even hard for him. I think we underestimate as well. Probably it was hard.
It's not an easy conversation. Yeah. So it's like, yeah, it's tough. But I mean, like you said, I'm happy to see women Naomi get back together because, yeah. Like, yeah, they've won two Grand Slams.
Yeah, they work well together.
And we hope it's gonna, you know, breed more, which I would not be surprised.
Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but of course, like, kind of, I say condolences, like, no one's died, but, like, it's a sad situation for mm-hmm. Ken Wen.
Yeah. But she won a title.
She did, yeah, exactly. So it's not all that bad.
She won a title.
Lastly, Maria Sharapova.
Who would have thought on this podcast back in the news. Would be like,
My respect for her has kind of, like, upped since she's retired. Sorry.
She Sharapova.
But yeah, what did she? She said some things.
Oh yeah, the reason why I wouldn't mention Sharapova is because I saw something. Before I actually get to that, I do want to send a quick shout out to the Tennis Letter. I feel like they're one of the dopest platform right now that share a lot of tennis news. They get cooked a lot because they're very positive. Like, and we need that. It's not every day, you know, I get where people are coming from, you know, blah, blah,
it's
blah.
Kinda, that's kind of our bag as well, positivity. So yeah. Like, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. I see people who be like, oh my gosh, like, why are you guys tweeting like this? And it's like, no. But shout out to them because literally any instant new tennis news literally got it from them. That's where I actually even got this from. So Maria Sharapova says tennis has a marketing problem. And that 99% of the US Open crowd had no idea Coco Gauff was playing in Beijing 3 weeks later. This is what she said. You had Coco Gauff winning her first major at US Open in New York City. The crowd, the British culture, sport, fashion, all in that moment. 3 weeks later, how many people know she's playing in a tournament in Beijing? She got to the semifinals and lost, but I'm sure 99% of the audience at the US Open had no idea where she was playing next. Right away, that's a problem off the bat. Maria Sharapova, you're speaking facts.
Mm.
It's true.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
We have a marketing problem. Mm. My thing is, how do we even fix a problem? No. How do we even... Do you get what I mean? But it's true.
And again, not to kind of like blow our own trumpet, Lucy, but I think it is platforms like ours, like...
Mm.
We are responsible also for which we do mm-hmm. to the best of our ability. Mm-hmm. And of course, there's more we can do and we will be doing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Watch out. But like, yeah, it's our job to like make sure we're showing like the world what these players are doing.
Yeah.
Like, and not just at the big tournaments, mm-hmm. at the Grand Slams.
Exactly.
Like Sharapova's just said, mm-hmm. like, that's kind of our duty. And that's kind of something that's one of the main reasons why I started the platform, because I was like, you know what? I don't want people just thinking tennis is about Wimbledon, US Open, French Open,
exactly,
Australia.
Exactly.
Like, it's an all year around sport.
And it's taught. And you never, I remember when I was posting like stuff on my personal Instagram when we were at, oh shoot, my mind just went blank. When we were at...
not Paris.
The other tournament in...
One of the grass court events.
The grass court events.
Birmingham, Eastbourne.
Eastbourne, sorry. Yeah. When I was like in Eastbourne and stuff, like some of my friends were like, wait, where's that? Yeah, what's that?
Yeah.
And Eastbourne, for example, is a perfect example because I feel like Eastbourne is like the... Obviously, it's not like Wimbledon.
Yeah.
But you get a little bit of... You get Pimm's, you get the umbrella. If the weather
it's
is
nice... It's a
nice
vibe, yeah.
I love Eastbourne. Mm. When the weather... Especially when the weather is nice, it's like 10 out of 10. So like these are things that you can help like push and promote to let people know like, hey, like these tournaments exist. Like this player is there and whatnot. But you're right. I think it's definitely... a thing for like the media, but I also think another problem with tennis is the accessibility.
Yeah, true.
Like, bro, when I was trying to buy the US Open tickets, which I couldn't go, but I gave them away, so which was cool.
Brilliant.
But that, for example, the ticket prices were bloody ridiculous. Mm. Or like Wimbledon, their ballot was shorter this time. I don't know why, which was strange. But anyways, but yeah, for example, we had to apply for a ballot for Wimbledon or like. We don't really know about the smaller tournaments. Like, you never know. One day you might travel and you might find there's a little tournament then. And at times, this is even a way for you to even watch a big player at, like, literally the cheapest price ever. Do you get what I mean? Especially compared to Grand Slam. So I think it's a mix of the lack of accessibility because a lot of people might think I only have to go to Grand Slams or I have to earn also X amount of money because even as fans... It's expensive.
It's hard, sad of expensive. Yeah.
It's expensive. Do you get what I mean? That's why I could have easily sold my tickets, my US Open tickets. And I was like, no, let me just actually give them away so that other people can actually go. Do you get what I mean? So that and the media, we have a lot of work to do.
No, 100%.
But Black Spin Globe be doing their part.
Listen,
you know
man,
what
we,
I mean?
We here. I know exactly.
We here, baby. We're doing our part.
The marathon continues.
The marathon continues, for sure, for sure.
So, yeah, I think that's a nice way to end it, Lucy.
For sure.
It's been a minute, man.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. I think most likely our next spot would probably be the last one.
Kind of. Well, I guess to wrap up the year, yeah. Like Billie Jean King Cup, because we've got the USA in that as well, which a lot of, stop it. It's me. My God. It's gone.
I did have a discussion in that with our followers, but a lot of them said they agreed with you, what you said, because I was saying what I was saying, because I think Stan was complaining about how empty it was.
Yeah. In Glasgow, then, I think it was, or Manchester.
Manchester. But then I was saying, see, this is what I'm saying. But then when people applied, I was like, listen, Eugene actually did say that it just needs a revamp. Mm. And a lot of people were saying it. I think people like the concept of it, but...
Yeah, I like
that's
another
way as well to go to play. Like when I checked the Manchester ticket, they were literally like £30.
Mm.
They were mad cheap.
Much more
30,
accessible.
20, some were even... And the ones where you're sitting up there was literally even £10.
Wow.
They were actually mad cheap.
Fair
so,
play.
Yeah, but yeah, there's that, I guess.
But yeah, we'll be back.
We'll be back.
For, end of year kind
end
of.
End of year pod. Review. Either way, we're on socials. So
indeed.
Guys, make sure that you follow us there. Make sure that you subscribe to our YouTube.
And yeah, guys, until the next one, take care.